Let us pray together. Father in heaven, thank you that we can be a child of yours through simple faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thank you for this day where we can celebrate the men. Thank you for this day where we can celebrate that we are your children. And thank you that this is a day that we can celebrate being together as one to lift our hearts and our voices to you. So, Lord, thank you for this morning as we continue our worship. In Jesus' name, amen. Now it's time for the kids to go to Kids Connection and for the youth to go to their study as well, as this is the last one for the summer break. And to go from there. By the way, you have a real treat coming up for the next little while. I'm on break for 4 weeks after today. Yes, so thank you. Thank you. I feel better now. No, really, if I don't get a break, you don't get a break. Right? Okay, yeah, let's be honest. And you're gonna be challenged. Next week is our missionary partner from Japan. We have Rob Fleming and his family here next, and Catherine will be here next week. So that's exciting. We have Matthew Burkholder the week after. Woo! Yeah. Then we have Ernest Yanful. Yeah. That's how we get him back to Canada. If you know anything about Ernest, right? Yeah. You know, and then Brent Paul, July 16th. And then we're starting a late summer series after that. So 4 weeks. And I'll be away for the first 2 weeks doing my spiritual retreat week where we plan the calendar for the year. All right? So if you can be in prayer for that, that would be... We have some exciting series coming up. Okay? So our life group actually made a couple suggestions, and I'm actually going with them. Okay, so I'm really excited for some of the things coming up. Okay, anyway, we're concluding our series called Seduction, and we've been talking about temptation. And we've been talking about temptation as this idea of a threat. And we all know that any moment that we're tempted, it sounds and feels and looks so good in that moment, right? You can't see beyond what is happening in the moment, and the temptation can be so overwhelming and so powerful. We've all been in that situation. But we've learned that the biblical word for temptation is nothing more than a threat. And when you're tempted, the threat is far greater than what you're experiencing in the moment. In fact, we all know, and we've all can, affirm that when we're tempted, the threat is really great. It can be a threat against our family. It could be a threat against our friends. It can be a threat against our future. It's definitely a threat to our faith. And it's definitely a threat to our witness for who we claim to follow, our faith in Jesus Christ. So there's a lot of things that happen or potentially are destroyed and has collateral damage whenever we are tempted. And we're looking at this temptation of Jesus and learning things from it. You know, the very first week, this three-week series, the very first week we learned that we can be tempted by a legitimate thing in an illegitimate way. Okay, we can rationalize and say, this is legitimate, who's going to know, it's only going to happen once. It'll be my little secret, all of that kind of stuff. And we do something in an illegitimate way, but it has collateral damage down the road. Secondly, last week we learned that many of us can be tempted to manipulate God. We'll even use the Bible and presume on God and be tempted in that particular way. We've seen that. Now this week, we're looking at the last one, is... Have you ever been in a situation where you have the possibility of a big advance in your life, whether it's going to the best school, a new job, you name it. But what it means in order to move forward in that direction is that you got to set aside a value or something you believe in a temporary way, or an important value in a temporary way, and say, you know, it's only for a short period of time, but what I gain in the long run is going to be better. Okay? So we're going to look at this last temptation, unpack that a little bit more, because what this temptation is going to teach us, or at least, you know, allow us to recognize, is what do I truly value? And who do I really belong to? And who do I really trust? Which are important questions whenever we get tempted. So here we are looking at, you know, pursuing the right thing, but in the wrong way for the pursuit of progress. All right? So we're looking at this last temptation of Jesus in Matthew 4:8, and I want to begin reading it. Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And by the way, this is really significant that the devil, this is a lie of the devil, right? When it says all the kingdoms and his glory, it's showing him all the positive about it. It's not showing him, you know, the people who are starving, the neighborhoods that are not necessarily prospering, all that kind of stuff. It's showing the world in the best possible light you can have it presented. Okay? So there's a bit of a lie built into just the way that these kingdoms are being presented. The devil goes on to say, I will give it all to you if you will kneel down and worship me. So the devil basically says to Jesus, if you submit to my authority, if you bow down and worship me, I will give you all of this, that it is yours. Now notice, in the first two temptations, remember the devil said, if you are the Son of God, okay? Notice how he's changed it this time. If you kneel down and worship me. So the first two times that the devil says if, it's doubting the person of Jesus Christ. It's doubting who he is. If you really are who you say you are, then just go ahead and do this. If you really are the crowned king of, you know, the incarnation of the second person of the Trinity, then, you know, prove it. Now it's doubting the mission. Okay? If you will, you know, kneel down and worship me, I will give you all these kingdoms, you know. You don't have to go to the cross. You don't have to, you know, suffer death and the brutality of that. You don't have to go through all that. I can give it to you, and we can just put all that stuff to the back. You don't need to go through the path that has been sort of laid out for you by the Father. So now it's doubting the mission. So if there's anything that's scary about the temptations of Jesus, and maybe something you haven't noticed, or maybe you've seen it in the life groups and that, is just how the devil, in all three of these temptations, has slightly altered his tactic. Okay? If this lie isn't working, he'll adjust it a little bit. So the lie, you know, kind of appeals in another way. And then he's adjusted it again in this third one to kind of bring in more doubt and more lies and sort of bring cloud and fog into the entire enterprise. And I don't know about you, but, you know, there's times you felt, you know, how many times have you, I don't know how to say this without, you know somebody who has been guarded all their life, and all of a sudden something trips them up and you go, was it that thing that they ended up falling over? Have you ever been in that situation? You know, I've done so well all my life. I've avoided this, I've avoided that, and all this. And then all of a sudden something comes along and just trips you up and you go, ah, how did I fall for that? Have you ever been there? Am I the only one? Okay. Isn't it something that we can learn from this particular passage, just how lies can be adjusted enough to make the temptation more appealing and to help us rationalize in our own mind, it's going to be okay. It's just once. No one will ever know. You know, all the rationalizations that we go through. I think that's one of the most powerful teachings of this particular section of Scripture, is just how the devil can adjust in order to find a weak spot and exploit it. I found like, oh, I sound like Star Wars in the Death Star, didn't I? Okay. But God, you know, but this is what Jesus came for, to reclaim what had been lost because of the fall. This is exactly what Jesus came to, you know, by victory of the cross, to reclaim the kingdom, to bring it back into God's care and all that stuff, okay? You know, even in the Great Commission, you know, Jesus says, all authority is given to me. So here's the, you know, the devil trying to take that which essentially is Jesus's, but to have him claim it not through the cross, but through power and authority. And it's a temptation for the moment, that would bring us in peril of what Jesus accomplished on the cross. Imagine if Jesus fell for any of these temptations. Where would we be today? We would still be sacrificing sheep. We would still be found at the altar with a high priest having, you know, all kinds of rituals and never being guaranteed that we would be right with God. Because in between sacrifices, there would be the doubt. Wouldn't there? So here's the key thought that comes out of this, is that this is a temptation to temporarily compromise a value for the sake of an immediate reward. I don't know if, again, I don't know if you've ever been in that place. I can just set this value aside. This is not important right now, because the temptation is to, you know, jump whatever hurdles and get to this point where I can advance. And I can set that value. I can always reclaim that value later on. Have you ever heard somebody say the end justifies the means? That, right? Have you ever heard anybody say that? That's one of these temptations. The end justifies the means. Okay? Remember how temptation is ultimately asking, can I trust God? Can I? And that's the question that Jesus doesn't even allow into the situation. Jesus does what he has done in the past. He looks into the past. And that's what he's brought out. How many of us, have, you know, we've all heard the adage too. You don't learn, you know, if you don't learn from the past, what are we in danger of? Yeah, repeating it. Okay? I think it's remarkable that every one of these temptations, Jesus goes back to an Old Testament story, goes back to, you know, a truth that's written in the Old Testament, and brings it forward and says, this is what happened. This is the temptation that is being mimicked here. And here is what the response was. And here is what, you know, the Scripture teaches us is the proper response. And he brings it forward because it's the same temptation, essentially the same temptation, and, you know, responds in a way that mimics the best response that we can have to these temptations. Okay? Deuteronomy 6, 10 to 13 is where Jesus goes back to. And there Moses writes, "The Lord your God will soon bring you into the land he swore to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Now listen to the way the land is described. "It is a land filled with large, prosperous cities that you did not build. The houses will be richly stocked with goods you did not produce. You will draw water from cisterns that you did not dig. And you will eat from vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant. When you have eaten your fill in this land, be careful not to forget the Lord who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. You must fear the Lord your God and serve him only. Now notice, right, when things are going really well for you, things are going really prosperous for you, and you are enjoying the fruits of other people's labors, things that you didn't even have to invest in, don't forget God. Don't forget. This is, by the way, this is one of those passages that is really an important reminder of how gratitude in our prayers is significant. How many of us, you know, I think that's a huge discipline in our prayer life, is to daily remember what God has given us and to be thankful for at least that. What a difference it'll make in your life when your perspective is one of thankfulness. But here Jesus is saying to the devil, and I'll put the passage up in 4:10. He says, basically, get out of here, Satan. For the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Okay? And then it says, notice how Jesus says, get out of here, Satan. Here's the last thing I'm going to say to you. And then he says, then the devil went away and the angels came and took care of Jesus. Jesus was not going to be tempted and set aside what was important over what was immediate. And that's the problem with temptation. It could allow us to set aside what's important for what is immediate. And we've talked about how it's going to be a threat to your family, a threat to your friends, a threat to your future, a threat to your faith, and how it's going to be a threat to your witness for Jesus. Jesus wanted one thing more than all the kingdoms of the world, and that was unbroken fellowship with the Father. That was not worth unbroken fellowship with the Father. When we trade our relationship with God for a kingdom, we lose both. Jesus gained both because of it. Because in the moments like this, when we're tempted to set aside a value for something greater, or what we think is greater in the temptation, it speaks to what we truly value. Who do we really belong to? And who do we ultimately trust? I want to repeat those again and put them up on the slide, because these are three things that a temptation like this leans into. What do I truly value? What do I truly value? Okay, if I can't acknowledge what I truly value, you will easily set aside those values for something that you think is more, is whatever. It might get your name, it might get you a bigger platform, it might get you more money, it might get you whatever. But if you're willing to not understand what your values are, you'll easily set them aside. Secondly is, who do we really belong to? Who do we really belong? Do we claim to be a follower of Jesus? And yet not live our lives in a way that reflects that? And who do we ultimately trust? Now, I'll tell you, temptation can easily whisper in your ear, God is giving this to you as a gift. When reality, it's nothing but the devil's lie. Because who do you ultimately trust? We're in a world that has easy solutions for really difficult things. And I think we're seeing values sort of set aside for an ethic that may appear greater, a value that may appear greater. But it's ultimately, who do we trust? Do we trust God? Do we trust what he says in his word? Do we live our lives in such a way that emulates that? And not get tempted by the things that could easily kind of draw us in all kinds of different directions? Okay? Okay? So here is the three areas that these temptations, I'm going to do a summary, really quick summary of all three temptations, right? The temptations cover three major categories. Now, this is really important because this is a form of biblical theology that we have to understand and why this is so important. Because there's three categories of temptation. Number one is our physical needs. Okay, our physical needs. Remember the very first temptation? You're hungry. You're the Son of God. You can turn these stones into bread. Go ahead and do that. Jesus would not have anything to do with that. It was a legitimate need, but he wasn't going to usurp the Father's authority over him just because he was hungry. Okay? It was to satisfy this genuine need in an improper way. So we have these physical needs that can easily, you know, find us in a place of temptation. Secondly is our emotional needs. Now this one's a bit, is communicated in the Bible in a number of different ways. You have needs and desires, and God can meet them. But go ahead and satisfy your own emotional cravings, because you can do it on your own. Didn't God say he would take care of you, and here's a Bible verse to prove it? You know, that's what the second temptation was. And it was a temptation to manipulate God rather than cooperate with him. Because, you know, I have emotional needs. Okay? Number three is this, our pride and our ego. Hey, this is your big break, the devil says to Jesus. Just look at the kingdom you can get right now if you just compromise for this moment. It's something you can have right now. You don't have to wait. Okay, oh, I like that. You can have it right now. You don't have to wait. Okay? Microwave culture. Right? Okay? I grew up in the crazy generation where you bought a house and you left it empty until you could afford furniture. How many of you remember that, you know? Right? That was unheard of. Right? You know, when you had... Layaway was, you know, I want this washing machine, and you put $100 down, but you never took it home until you paid for it. Crazy, right? Now you can furnish the whole place and not pay for 3 years. Okay, you know, just how different everything is. We got to have it now. And I think that does something to our sense of temptation. Okay? We have this sense of instant gratification. And this is part of what this particular story is about. Okay? Do we wait upon God? Do we take the moment to say, God, I trust you. This isn't what I want right now. Trust me, I'm in a situation I don't want right now. So many of you are probably in that. Okay? And it's like, I have to trust God. In the end, I have to trust God. Okay? And I think many of you are in that place. Now, I could circumvent things and sort of, you know, create whatever, but the fact of the matter is I know that in the end, there will be collateral damage, there will be all kinds of potential negative things that arise out of it, but I have to trust God, and in the moment that God will bring good out of it, even though I don't like where it is right now. Ever been there? You know, the devil basically says to Jesus, you can have instant gratification right now. Just set it aside, going to the cross or anything like that. You can have the kingdoms right now, no pain, but a lot of gain. That's not even a wise saying, isn't it? But how many times has the devil said to you, hey, no pain, and you're going to get all the gain? That's kind of like the worst temptation. It's a temptation to compromise for just a moment for a shortcut that causes me to temporarily suspend a value. Okay? I want to read two passages to kind of end this series that are written as echoes of this temptation of Jesus in Matthew 4. 1 John 2:15 says this, "Do not love this world nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you." Mind you, okay, right? Can we unpack that for just a moment? listen to what John's saying. Okay, if we don't have the love of the Father in us, we're going to have love for things that the world, like money, greed, selfishness, like all those, that's what John is basically talking about here. And how those things, we can all say culturally, are not very healthy in our culture. But when we have the love of the Father, we have different priorities and we have different reasons for being part of the community, all that kind of stuff. This is a really powerful statement. It's a very simple statement, but it's very powerful. And this is what John says, for the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see. That's the emotional part, by the way, okay? Because the way the Bible talks about what you see is how it entices you emotionally to want it, whatever, you know, all those kinds of stuff, greed, et cetera, okay? And pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from the world. And this world is fading away along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. I mean, a powerful passage, right? You know, the actual Greek of this is desire of the flesh, desire of the eyes, and the pride of life. Is that what comes out of this? And by the way, if you go back to Adam and Eve, these are the same temptations, Adam and Eve. Okay? All right? And by the way, let me read this Hebrews. I'll make one final statement. Here's Hebrews 4:14. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, our ability to be tempted. For he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it the most. Now, what is really cool about this particular passage, and I've had people say this to me, by the way, they've read Hebrews 4:14 and they'll say, hey, wait a minute, Jesus was not tempted in every single way that we were. So how can Hebrews 4:14 say this? Okay? And typically, what scholars have said is that, guess what? Everything that tempts us falls in either one of three categories. Falls into the category of the physical, falls in the category of the lust of the eyes, emotional, or falls in the category of our pride and ego. So it doesn't matter what it is that you think is a temptation, a testing. Because we have these three categories in the Bible, everything that we get tempted by falls into one of these three categories. So Hebrews 4 is right to say that Jesus was tempted in every way as we are. And yet, he did not sin. You know what that's called? Good news. That's called the gospel. Even in his temptation, it's good news for each and every one of us because we don't have to fall for the lies because Jesus showed us the path forward. And not only that, but showed us how to be aware when the temptations come. Now, I don't know about you, but I've learned a lot from these last 3 weeks. And I pray that as we have our last week of life groups, you know, before the fall session, that we would just have a great conversation over some really powerful truths that come out of the Bible. Amen? Okay, let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for the series and what we've learned about temptation. And just thank you for Jesus, that he didn't fall for any of them. How many of us would have easily fallen for the first one? And yet, Jesus demonstrated sinless perfection so that he could be the perfect sacrifice for us. Lord, that a truth that in many ways is so overwhelming. And yet, we can easily, in the moment of our own temptations, forget all that Jesus has done for us. So, Lord, make us mindful, make us hopeful. give us strength and allow us, Lord, to recognize temptation when it comes and to be able to flee so that we do not threaten the things that temptation can threaten. So we thank you for your truth this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.